Hallelujah. Help us sing this chorus this morning. Oh, Father, I love you this morning, Jesus.
My heart is filled with desire to see your power and glory cover the earth as the waters flow the sea.
Oh, Lord, I'm surrounded.
I am surrounded by the fortress of God. Surrender to you. I lift up my hands, standing unashamed. I worship you, Father, exalting your name. You've captured my heart, and now my life is changed. I lift up my hands. Lift up my hands.
Oh, I give you praise, Lord. I
lift up my hands, standing unashamed. I worship you, Father, exalting your name. You've captured my heart, and now my life is changed. I lift up my hands. Lift up my hands.
Oh, sing it again.
Oh, lift up my hands, standing unashamed.
I'm not ashamed for what you've done in my life, Jesus.
Oh, exalting your name. You've captured my heart, and now my life is changed. I lift up my hands. Lift up my hands. I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands.
Can we do that all over the house, Jesus? We magnify your name today, Jesus.
Privilege to be able to lift up our hands and magnify God. Let's do that all across the house. Would you just stretch your hands towards heaven? We love you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. Jesus, we exalt you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, God, for your touch, your presence, your spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, we give you glory and honor today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, welcome to Morning Manna today. It's good to see everybody here, and we're excited about this weekend. What an incredible time we had yesterday, day at the park, and many of you were there, and we just had a wonderful time reaching out, and a ton of people came by, and we've got to meet some that promised they'd be here today, and we're believing for that. Meet others that couldn't be here today, but we made some good connections. Good connections with a lot of people that live right here close to the church, and it's kind of neat how God just orchestrated that. So I think it was a definite win for our church, and I believe it's a blessing as we're adopting the culture of seeking beyond ourselves, seeking out beyond these walls and reaching to others. And these type of events are so good, and so we're going to keep doing these type of things and reaching out, outreach, and believing God to just give us the harvest that he has promised us. Praise the Lord. We're so glad to have Brother Ed Snyder here with us this weekend, and we enjoyed having him here last year and wanted him to come back, and we're believing God to just work in a special way for this second service today and for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in a mighty way, amen, that he is going to be teaching for us in Morning Manna, and we do want him to come. Brother Snyder pastors in Texas, and is building a church there in the Irving, Texas area of Dallas-Fort Worth, and that large metroplex, lots of people in that area that need the Lord. And so be praying for their church. And he spoke to our ministers in training today and challenged us. And I know that this is going to be something from the Lord. I'm going to step out quickly and go to our First Steps class and greet them, and then I'll be back. But let's welcome Brother Snyder. So good to have him here all the way from Texas. Amen.
Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. How much I want to give honor and respect to the McCoy family. Love them so very, very much. You are a blessed church to have Brother and Sister McCoy as your pastors. There we go. Some of y'all may need some coffee or something. Wake up a little bit there. Praise God. But it's just an honor to be here. Last year we were here for the planning, the leadership planning, and then service on Sunday. It was just fun. Then when he called and said, "Hey, I want you to come back and let's do a crusade thing," I literally have counted the days till I got to come back to Harvest Ministry to be with you again. It's just a wonderful thing. Praise God. God is doing good things. As Pastor McCoy said yesterday, it was just outstanding. It was wonderful. It was fantastic. It was a great, great event that went on in your city and with your church. I'm looking forward to hearing the reports of the next one that you do. It's going to be even better because the leadership got a lot of great ideas and how we can tweak that and improve that, like maybe warmer weather. And, of course, we were teasing and said that creek that run there by the place where we were at was a perfect place to baptize. Nice cold water. they just get the Holy Ghost real quick. Amen. Praise God. I'm excited. What time have I got to be done here? 12:40. Took him a while to answer that. I don't know. Let's see. How long do I tell him do we need to go? A couple of things about the 1 o'clock service. We're expecting great results. We're expecting God to do great things. Are you expecting God to do great things? Amen. Praise God. And what I wanted to share with you, I mean, they're Facebooking live. Are you Facebooking live now? All right, this is going out on the internet, on Facebook. The 1 o'clock's going out. And I talked about it Friday. Friday's video got 1,000 views since Friday. It was shared 24 times, which is pretty good. And so let's hit it again at the 1 o'clock service. Sneak your phone out. Don't tell Pastor, I'm telling you. Anyway, but sneak your phone out, get your Facebook page out, and share this video on your page. Because you see, the church is connected to so many people, however many people that is. I'm connected to 5,000 on my personal page and 13,500 on my public page. You're connected to however many page or people on your page. So when we spread it like that, this message is going to go out and touch a lot of people. And who knows, somebody may get the Holy Ghost in their living room watching this video live. It's happened. For those of you that weren't here Friday night, I gave testimony of our Crusades for General Conference. The last one we did was Houston, Texas, where we had 13,000 in the arena, and we had 4,000 receive the Holy Ghost in that one service. Several of those was over the internet. We broadcast it live. A church in Columbia of 50 people, none of them had the Holy Ghost, but the pastor did. He set it up. That whole church watched, and that entire church received the Holy Ghost that night with us in Houston. People were emailing in saying, "My children just received the Holy Ghost sitting in the living room watching the live video of that Crusade Conference service in their pajamas." I mean, it was just amazing how many people were reporting in that were watching that live video where they were receiving the Holy Ghost. So there's no distance on prayer. Somebody shout amen. We can have 30 receive the Holy Ghost in the house today. We can have another 30 receive the Holy Ghost via the web. Y'all all right? Okay. Praise God. It's a great day. It's a great time. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. Tuesday's election day. Amen. I heard the Republicans are voting on Tuesday and the Democrats come on Wednesday. Okay, I better get off that subject, move right along. Let's get spiritual again. Amen. But we do need to do our part. We're Christians. We're Holy Ghost-filled saints of God. Amen? And we need to let our voice be heard. Enough about that. Praise God. I'm going to teach today on character counts and forgiveness matters. I know I'm talking to primarily the church in this hour, and I prayed and sought God, and God led me to this message today. And I want to deal with a little bit of character issue and forgiveness issues. Even though we're filled with the Holy Ghost, even though we are churchgoers and we're there every time the doors are open, sometimes we have issues that are in our spirit that needs to be dealt with. I'm in the middle of writing a book called Control the Beast, and it's a book about emotions, controlling the emotions. It's going to deal a lot with anger, how to control the anger, manage our other negative emotions. Because it doesn't matter if we're Holy Ghost filled or not, we still feel negative emotions. And let me give you a reality check. Yes, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, you're coming to church. But that doesn't exempt you from bad things happening to good people. Hello? And we've got to learn to deal with that and still become or still stay a Christian. Oh, somebody shout amen. We still got to be that loving, giving person that will love beyond conditions, that will reach people no matter what. And to do that, we've got to look at our character and we've got to understand that forgiveness really does matter. Scripture I want to go to is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 through 18. 1 John chapter 3, 16 through 18. And I noticed something the other day in the Word, how that the Scripture, there's a Scripture in the book of John that talks about how that if you're my friend, you know, we lay down our lives for our friends. But in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." Because Christ laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If we see, if we have this world's goods, in other words, if you got a little bit of money or some food or some clothing or some experience and you see your brother in need and you shut up your bowels of compassion. I'm not going to hit nobody help me when I'm down. How does the love of God dwelleth in us? Everybody okay? We may get a little serious here, but we're going to have a whole lot of fun in the next hour. Verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Neither let us not love in word, "I love you." Those are words. Mama always taught me, actions speak louder than words. Amen. You didn't want to say that. "Neither in tongue, but in deed." Show it. Prove it. We can come to a point in our lives where we say, "I forgive you," but your actions is going to tell the real purpose of your heart. And in truth. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your goodness and mercy, and thank you for your power. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient. God, your ability to forgive us of our sins and our trespasses, Anoint ears to hear, hearts to feel, minds to comprehend today. Anoint my lips of clay to teach the word today, to touch somebody's life, to put something in our minds and our hearts today. God, we give you glory for everything that's going to happen in this session and in the next session. God, it's to God be the glory for what you have done in us, through us, and to us. Bless this place today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Character counts and forgiveness matters. God's character requires him to forgive. If you really study and look at the character of God, what God is made up of, his principles, his values. Yes, he's God. Yes, he spoke the world into existence. Yes, he can turn the water into wine and raise the dead and unstop deaf ears. But God does have character. And he lives by his own rule book. You see, the devil is a trespasser. The reason that he is a trespasser is he didn't live by the rule book. God is not a trespasser. When Jesus came to the earth, he came by his own rules. He came by birth into the world. Satan did not. He's an intruder. He's a trespasser. He violates the rules of God. But God lives by his own principles and rules. So God's character requires him to forgive. And those of us that seek godly character, we have to learn one thing, to forgive. God is a lot of things, but he's all about forgiveness. When you think about God, when you think about what God can do in our lives, the first thing is, God forgives me. Or some people coming to God, can God forgive me? Or I've had it many times through 38 years of ministry. Preacher, you don't know where I'm from. God can't forgive what I've done. Yes, he can. Because it's required of him. All right? So again, if we're going to be Christ-like, if we're going to live like God, if we're going to live by the principles and the rules that God has laid down, then forgiveness is in our future. Well, I'll forgive, but I can't forget. Well, then you just blew it. Because forgiveness has an element of forgetting. Now, your brain's got it branded. I've had some things done to me unjustly, unfairly. I've had people hurt me beyond words to describe. Okay? And when they first happened, whew, yeah, I had to be careful because I wanted to pray, God, kill them. Just kill them right now. But I can't do that. And I had to realize if I don't forgive them and if they don't change their ways, I'm going to wind up in hell for eternity with them. And I didn't want to go there. Everybody okay? I'm just talking plain here. I'm just kind of being transparent with you, getting down where we all live together. And so I had to realize I must forgive them. But I've learned in my 38 years of ministry and 56 years of existence, and I've always teased, I'm only really 33. I told them in the park the other day, I said, I'm only 33. I'm just trapped in a 56-year-old body. That's all. Amen. I told somebody this morning, I got new pipes. That surgery 2 years ago, I got new pipes. I told my kids, I'm living to 100. And I'm going to live with you, and I'm going to eat all your food, and I'm going to spend all your money, and I'm going to leave my dirty clothes all over your house. Payback is coming, Marcus Snyder, and I'm going to bring it, and I'm going to bring it hard. God is so good. But I have to realize, for us to function, for us to be blessed, I've got to let go of that pain that situation brought. I've got to somewhat forget, because when I forgive, I'm going to take the sting out of it. And God, help me to forget the sting. You're probably not going to forget the incident, but you can forget the sting that it brought. I'm debating. Yeah, here we go. It happened. It's real. 2 years ago, 3 years at, or 3 weeks after my open heart surgery, my daughter walked out on us and God. Walked right out of the house. Hadn't heard from her for a while. We do not hear from her now. And that's what I said Friday night. She may not be doing what she needs to be doing, but the word's in her. And it's going to come back. Amen. I want to tell you something, folks. That whole situation that involved at the time her boyfriend's family, now her husband's family, stung like a hot knife. It stung bad. I had all kinds of crazy thoughts going through my head. Can I be real with you? Yeah. I caught myself fantasizing, just beating the living snot out of them. It's real. It's okay. God forgives. All right? And I had to get to the place where I prayed, God, please take the sting out of this thing. I struggled with it, folks. I'm going to be real honest. I really struggled with it. I had to pray, and I had to pray hard because I knew that if I let this thing turn to bitterness, it's going to destroy me. And I've gone too far, and I've worked too hard in living for God and in ministry to allow this incident to take me out. It ain't going to happen. But then something happened that made me realize about the value of those situations that we go through. I left San Jose, East Valley Pentecostal Church, as executive associate pastor to come to Irving to replant that church. Pastor Rodney Nielsen called and said, hey, come back, man. It's been too long. You haven't been back since you went to Dallas. Come back and preach for us. So it was about 4 years from us leaving that I came back. And so I came back. I did a men's meeting for them. We did something else on Saturday, and then I preached both services on Sunday. And I can't believe, I can't tell you how many people come to me and said, Pastor Ed, what has happened to you? Your ministry is so much deeper. Your anointing is so much stronger. Your word is so much more powerful. I'll tell you what happened. July of 16 is what happened. That whole situation that I went through with our daughter only made me stronger in the spirit, stronger in the anointing of God, because I didn't allow bitterness to come in. I learned to forgive. Forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen, does matter in your walk with God. Amen. Amen. So we've got to understand that we have to increase the knowledge and increase the insight of what's really going on, that forgiveness is a process. You don't just say, I forgive you, and it's over. Unless it's a little light thing, you know, somebody cut you off in traffic. Then it's a maybe. Or if it's some situation like I've been through, and I'm sure there are more stories in this room like that, that are tough, they're hurtful, they're very painful, but yet we have to get the insight of what's really going on and understand that that kind of forgiveness is a process. It's a growing thing. We got to learn to let go of it. We got to learn to not let it come back on us. We got to learn to pray through that thing. And we've got to learn to say, okay, God, I'm not going to let this make me bitter. I'm going to let it make me better in my walk with you, in my ministry, and everything about me. It's going to make me stronger. Amen, somebody. One preacher that I called, and I just started crying. I said, I can't believe this, what just happened. And I told him, he said, Ed, the devil don't play fair. He will go after what's most precious to you. He will hit you where it hurts the most. And he came after my baby girl. Amen, somebody. But then I bucked up, and I told the devil, I don't care what you come after, you're not going to get me away from the mission and the purpose that God has in my life. I don't care who you take. I don't care what you do, devil. You're not going to win against me in what I've got to accomplish in the kingdom of God. Somebody shout amen. I'm talking about understanding the process. I'm talking about increasing our knowledge of what's really going on. The devil's trying to trip you up. He's trying to get you trapped into bitterness and not allow you to forgive what's been happening to you. But when you realize that character counts and forgiveness does matter in your growth, God will not only give back what the devil has taken, he'll give it back twice as much. He'll give it back twice as sweeter. The victory is twice better, amen, when you win the war. Somebody shout amen. So the first step in it all is to acknowledge the hurt. I've been hurt. I've been done wrong. And pretending not to need others is not going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Or pretending what others say doesn't bother me. Yes, it does. Quit lying to yourself. And I know nobody else knows that but what's going on right up here. But what others think about you really do matter to you. Somebody asked me, well, I was talking to somebody at the park, somebody here in the church, I can't remember who it was, but you know, we were talking about the book and all of that stuff and what brought you into helping people with anger. And it's because I was an angry kid. I was an angry adult. I put my fist through more walls, doors, windows. I broke out teeth and I busted noses. More than I care to confess. And they said, why were you so, did you grow up in a bad home? No, I grew up in a great home, a beautiful home. My mom and dad, we were the first ones there to get the back row. There you go. You caught that. Took a second, but you got it. Amen. We were the first one on the parking lot waiting for my uncle to unlock the door because dad wanted the back row. I don't know if it was the first one out or what, but anyway, we were raised in church. I got a beautiful heritage, but I was overweight, picked on, bullied every day, beat up almost every week at school, and that kind of got me angry. Hello? And so that's the whole thing. And my mother was my advocate. My mom said, you don't need them. You've got God on your side. And you're an awesome young man. And you're going to do great things. She was constantly pumping me. And I thank God for that. But one thing I did have to realize is we do need other people. We need those relationships. We need those friendships. And pretending that what others are saying about us doesn't matter, yeah, it really does. And to do to us what doesn't hurt us is not forgiveness. Ignoring it is not going to make it go away. Ignoring it is not forgiveness. Letting it go, taking out the sting, let that person be released from what they've done to you. That's what really forgiveness is. The process of forgiveness involves evaluating the hurt. Did it really happen? Sometimes there was a time I was walking through that nightmare, wishing I would wake up, wishing I was just having a bad, bad, bad dream. But did it really happen? Did it really happen the way I perceived it? Now, let me hang there for a second, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking to somebody. I believe I'm helping somebody in the house today. Perception is everything. Doesn't matter what the truth is. It doesn't matter what real is. What is perception is the law. So what we look at something, what we hear somebody say, and what we perceive that they are saying, it doesn't matter if they meant that way or not. It's what we think that happened is what's real in our minds. Now, whether it's real or perceived, the emotion, our emotional makeup reacts the same way. For example, you can be walking down a dimly lit street, walk past a dark alley, and it's a not so good neighborhood. Our mind starts going, what's in that alley? And you know, everything kind of tightens up and a sweat kind of breaks out. And we walk past the mouth of that alley, afraid of what's in the alley. We hear a noise, and we take off because we're scared. Hello? If you ain't scared, you're lying. We find out later it was a cat knocked over a can. It was nothing. Now, let's reverse that or rewind that. We're walking down the street. We go to the alley, and a dude jumps out with a .357 Magnum and points it straight in our faces. Give me all your money. It's time to be scared. Okay? Fear's going to hit you. Now, that's real. The can with the cat is perceived. There's no danger to that. That cat's not going to hurt you, and that can hitting the ground is not going to hurt you. But you thought it was. Therefore, the fear is just as real. The fear is just as potent. What we perceive or what is actually happening, the emotion is still the same. Everybody understand me? So we got to realize when things happen to good people, are they real? Did it really happen? Did they really say what they said? Did they really mean what they meant? And if it's perceived, then the job is on our side to let go of that. I misunderstood. But if it's real, if it's the dude with the gun sticking it in our face, that's real. Now our work is we got to let it go and we got to forgive them to be victorious in God. Everybody okay? All right, so here we go. Changed attitude. I want you to understand and determine to submit to this process. And again, forgiveness is a process for the sake of your own mental, your own emotional, and your own spiritual health. When we don't forgive somebody, we have to realize we're robbing ourselves of blessing and of power and joy. Yes, we'll laugh with our mouth, but the joy is not deep down inside because we've got this root of bitterness. When we lived in Northern California or the Bay Area, Gail and I took a little tour above San Francisco to the area where the sequoias live, the big giant redwood trees. And there's a place there because years ago, I think it was somewhere back in the 30s or 40s, that all of a sudden these huge sequoias, now these, for those of you that lived in Missouri all your life, these are trees that stand like 235 feet in the air. They've been around for centuries. They're huge. They're majestic. They're beautiful. So one is so big that they've drilled a hole you can drive a car through the bottom of the tree. I mean, it's just, they're beautiful. They're wonderful. They're awesome to see. And back in the 30s or 40s, several of the sequoias, clear skies, beautiful weather, no big breeze, snapped and fell over. They're like, what in the world? They don't do that. And so scientists were brought in. They began to study the rings of the tree. That's the history of the tree. And when they started examining the life rings of that tree or the history of that tree, they found and realized that lightning perhaps struck the tree and created a wound in that tree. And instead of the tree healing from the inside out, the bark just grew over the top of the wound and allowed the wound to stay there. Inside, it rotted until suddenly it couldn't hold itself up any longer, snapped and fell over. The king of trees, the majestic trees of the sequoias, just snapped and fell over. How many people have you realized or noticed they're in church and they're shouting and they're dancing and man, they look like the perfect picture of Pentecost, and then kaboom, they're out doing something stupid and they're backslid and walked away from God and not coming back, and you're like, how in the world did that happen? All of the sudden they backslid. Backsliding doesn't happen suddenly. I'll tell you what happened. A wound was inflicted some years ago, and instead of letting the healing come from the inside out, they just covered it up. They went back to shouting and dancing and acting like everything's okay. They ignored it and hoped it'd go away. It never went away, allowing the wound to stay inside, and it began to rot away at their walk with God, at their faith and their trust in God, until finally they snapped. Finally, they just fell over. Finally, they said, forget it. I'm out. I'm done. I can't take it no more. And they walk out. Again, we've got to change our attitude and understand that it can't be just an end thing. We can't just cover up the surface. We all carry the weight of unforgiving and unhealed wounds, and we can't do it anymore. These are embedded within us already, and it erupts just all of a sudden. Bitterness crops up, and you're like, where is that coming from? Take a look in your history. Look at your life rings. Look at what's happened in the past. Have we really let it go? Have we really forgiven? I'm telling you, character counts and forgiveness does matter. We realize that the solution is God commands us to submit to the process. And everybody say process. You know, God's a miracle-working God. You know, he does things miraculously. He can heal the cancer just bam. Just pow, gone. He is an instantaneous God. But sometimes God doesn't heal instantly. Sometimes things don't change instantly. There's processes to it. Why? Because God wants us to learn something in the process. People that's going to come here today and receive the Holy Ghost in the 1 o'clock service, they're not going to walk out here looking the perfect picture of Pentecost. They're going to look the same way they walked in. Why? Because discipleship is a process. They got to learn. They got to adapt. They got to adjust. They got to take things out of their life. They got to add things back into their life that are good, godly, and righteous. But we can't go on the same way of revenge. We want to get revenge. Revenge is not your place. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And you're not the instrument God's going to use. Amen? It's like the lady named Sally. Sally was bitten by a dog. And so she went to the doctor and took the dog with her. And the doctor examined her and examined the dog and came back and says, got bad news, Sally. The dog has rabies. And so she took out a piece of paper and a pen real quick and started writing. And the doctor says, Sally, rabies are treatable. You don't have to write out any kind of last will and testament. She goes, no, I'm writing out a list of people I can bite. Vengeance is his, saith the Lord. He will repay. You're not going to get rabies and go around biting people. All right? You're not the instrument that God's going to use for revenge. Leave that to him. We understand the burden of unresolved conflict. It brings pain, it brings hurt, and it brings anger to our lives. We get angry because they did this to us or they said that about us. It doesn't matter, folks. What's your relationship with God? God's got you. God's going to take care of you. And if we live by God's character, we have to forgive and let go so that we can be healed. Let me tell you something about this whole thing. Somebody hurts you, somebody does you wrong, and leaves you in a pile of mess. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to go on with life. They're going to do their thing. They're going to be as happy as they think they are. And you are going to be left in a pile of bitterness. And your life's going to go down. Your quality of living is going to go down. Your quality of happiness is going to go down. Your quality of joy is going to go down unless we say, I'm going to let them go. Can I be plain? They're just stupid. And so they can't help themselves. Because, you know, there's no known cure for stupidity. It's a disease that there's no known cure for. And when somebody's stupid, you can't help them. They're just stupid. So consider the source and let it go. You know somebody? Yeah. He's over here laughing. Yeah. Yeah. I know about 10 of them. Character counts. Not only anger, but it leads to deep-seated wounds and bitterness. Many times these remain unresolved or unhealed our entire lifetime. And it's sad. Because we can't enjoy a life of happiness with our families and with our church because we're always thinking. thinking about that past. They turn into bitterness, which turns into broken relationships, which turns into hatred, and perhaps even murder. What do you think all these shootings are about? Unresolved conflict. If nothing else in that person's own mind, but it's still unresolved conflict that never got fixed. People of character, we cannot harbor resentment and bitterness and hatred against others. I'm better than that. You're better than that. Somebody shout amen. People of character must submit to the process that leads to true forgiveness, which brings true happiness, which brings true joy, which brings the true blessings of God into our life. God can't flow through a dirty vessel. And when you think about a dirty vessel, you automatically thought, there's no sin in my life. What is bitterness? What is hatred? What was the time that I used to catch myself daydreaming of beating this guy's face in? That's not right. I had to ask God to forgive me of those thoughts. I had to get through that. I had to get healed from that. Thank God I am. And it turns into anointing, and it turns into power. It turns into, I learned a lesson. And I'm going to overcome the next time the devil throws one at me. I'm ready for him. I wasn't ready. Ladies and gentlemen, I was not ready for that cannonball that came through my living room that night. Oh, God, help us. I guess you're at the keyboard. That means I got to quit. It's always a hint when the musicians come and you haven't called them. Shut up. And sit down. True forgiveness. True forgiveness. Letting go and forgetting about the stain. It's okay. You're going to be all right. Stand to your feet. All things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. We have to trust that. Trust is the hardest thing for human beings to do because we live in a society where trust is broken. But when we learn to trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path, we can become powerful in our relationship with God. But see, folks, trust is the dimension beyond faith. We can believe God for a miracle. We can believe God that God's going to kill that person. But when God doesn't kill that person, or God doesn't heal that cancer, then we have to trust that God knows best. We have to trust, vengeance is mine, His. Saith the Lord, I will repay. We have to trust that. God's going to get them. I'm not going to worry about it. Those people that violated me and hurt my family, God's going to take care of them. It's okay. I don't have to worry about it because when God does it, ooh, Lord, is it good. And I won't have to go to jail for it. Huh? Am I telling the truth? When God takes care of you, when God brings vengeance for you, honey, it's awesome. Not that we gloat in it, not that we glorify in it, but we're His children, and Papa is always going to take care of His kids. Lift your hands and give praise to the Lord. Would you do that right now? God, help us. Help us to understand that character counts and forgiveness matters, God. Heal the wounds right now in this room, Jesus. Heal the broken spirits right now, God. Take away the sting of the past, of the hurts, of the hatred that has crept in. I rebuke that by the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus. Be healed right now. Ha! In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let a miracle of healing take place in our spirit, in our emotions, in our mentality, in the way we think, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, help us. Amen.
Amen. Do you receive that today? Praise the Lord. Boy, that's great. Character counts and forgiveness matters. Amen. Let's take a break, and we'll come back at 1 p.m.